This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Building. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Let's go, BC. Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7 FM. Louisiana Tech 0-1, 45-14 loss on the road at number 10 Texas Saturday night. We're here live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios to break it down. My co-host, Beck Haynes, what's happening?
BC, glad to be back in the mix of some Tech Bulldog football.
I'm just glad football's back.
Yeah, started the season with an L. BC, can't say I'm surprised.
No.
But was it, you said 45-14, Ben. I watched it. Was it as bad? Was it as bad as it looks on the scoreboard?
Beck, you watched the game. First off, I'm happy to see that. And yes, it was. It was ugly. You know, Texas jumps out to a 38-0 lead before the Dogs get on the scoreboard, but the Dogs weren't
shut out.
38-0?
Yeah, I was going to say, was it that?
Yeah. It was pretty ugly, but hey, the sun rose and rusted in Louisiana.
It's week two, buddy.
Week two. Home opener this weekend. Grambling. Making the short drive over. Going to drive their cars to Joe IA. Hope we have plenty of parking. Beck, what'd you think of the game? I know you were at a wedding Saturday night. I heard that you posted up at a table.
I probably have some apologies I need to make, BC.
To your wife.
But let me tell you this. It was my wife's friend. I'm loyal to the Dogs, BC.
No, let me tell you something.
I got one of those little stand-up tables so it didn't look like I was being super disrespectful.
If you have a fall wedding, well, you deserve to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one.
Yeah.
I deserve
it. It's not my favorite thing. It was in Dallas. I did post up. I had a small crowd, which probably didn't help me be discreet, but there was a lot of Tech Bulldogs there in the house. So there was, you know, 8 to 10 people huddled around this two-person table. So it was a little obvious, BC.
Were you the designated guy?
Yeah. I was also holding the baby, and so I was just
doing it all.
I was doing it all. I was trying to watch the Dogs. Went over my data plan.
That's a fair trade-off. I'll hold the baby if you let me get to watch
the game. I'll stand in this corner. I turned the, you know, to the back so nobody could see. I was, you know, went over my data plan, just streaming like you wouldn't believe. I was getting text messages left and right. People, you know,
we'll take it.
We'll take it. I just, you know, 15, 30 bucks, whatever. I'll take it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, but I can't say, I mean, it was worth it in the sense of I wanted to watch the Dogs, but they did not razzle or dazzle me, BC. Let me hear what you thought. Give me your quick one sentence recap.
First, let's thank our sponsors. First National Bank. You can always text us on the Fairway Carts hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, Acme Glass, Brister Smokehouse, and O'Neill Gas. So, Beck, let me tell you. My thoughts on the game. Obviously, Tech did not play well. Anytime you go on the road, lose 45-14. I'm not here for all the rah-rah, we competed, we played hard.
You get the whole spectrum. You get the doomsday, you get the, oh, but, you know, it was Texas, we'll do better. It was the first game of the season.
Yeah, I'm not here for you. I'm here to tell you the facts.
Give us some facts.
All right, we're going to break it down. Offense, defense, special teams. Special teams will probably.
You want to just start there and just.
Special teams? You want to come with a special teams answer?
Yeah, give me the special teams answer.
Rough.
Not good. That's special, BC.
Yeah, special.
Holding kicker tryouts this week on Thursday. Anybody that can get it in between the uprights, come kick.
Carly Lloyd, what's your number?
Seriously.
Dogs
there's
need a
some
kicker.
Real validity to that conversation now.
Dogs need a kicker. So let's talk offensively. You know, early in the game, well, really throughout, you know, three and a half quarters of the game, the offense moved the ball well from 30 to 30.
Right. And that first drive, our group message was like, guys, what
this is a really
this?
Good drive.
This is a good drive.
Yeah, and I thought the offense was clicking, and, you know, Jamar, I thought, had her. It wasn't a perfect game.
No,
but
he played fine. He played fine.
Yeah, he played well. You know, 67% completion percentage, 331 yards, two touchdowns, had the one interception off the deflection. But, you know, once Tech was able to get into Texas territory, I don't know if the play calling changed or
– Well, the field gets smaller.
It
does. That's part of it.
That's a good assumption. You know, 100-yard field, you get to the 30, you only have 30 left. Yeah. You don't have to be a mathematician to figure that out. But, you know, I felt like, you know, maybe the play calling changed a little bit. Tech would kick themselves in the foot. You know, Jamar might miss a throw. I saw, you know, there was one screen out to Smoke that it hit Smoke's hands, but it wasn't a great throw as well. So the offense was relatively good. There wasn't much of a run game, but we'll get to the run game later. And, you know, I know you and I and Taves as well, after watching the first game of the season, we don't think this is going to be a Tech team that's ever going to line up and run it for 170 yards a game. I think the identity of this offense throughout this season is going to be you're going to have to put it on Jamar's arm 40, 45 times a game and let those receivers, you know, we learned in this game, it's not the Adrian Hardy show this year. There's plenty of different receivers that can make plays. When you talk about Isaiah Graham, Griffin Hebert had a great game. Malik Stanley, the transfer from South Alabama, played well. Smoke Harris played well, especially when he got the ball in the perimeter. I thought C.J. Powell played pretty good as well. I know we'll see Wayne Toussaint get integrated into the offense more going forward. But really, you know, like I said, the offense struggled when it got to the 30, but I was encouraged by their ability to move the football on a consistent base. I don't think there was a three and out the whole night.
Right.
I could be wrong, but
it's always. I mean, it's not lost on us, Ben, that this is. It's hard to evaluate
definitely
a Bulldog team playing a team as the caliber of Texas. Now, I'm not saying that
we're not bowing down.
No,
to them.
No, not at all. But they are a top 10 team for a reason.
Well, I think they proved that.
Right, and so this is a new first game of new defense, which I know has a lot of people worried. It's the first game. I hate to be that guy, but I'm also not going to jump to conclusions and think that this Bulldog team is just the same as always and we're doomed. I think there were some things
we'll
to take.
We'll win 7 or 8 games. Yeah. Jamar's terrible.
We'll lose one at the end. We should have won.
Tech's going to Tech.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm not in that boat. I'm encouraged offensively. You know, the last couple of years we've seen Tech average 26, 27 points a game. I won't be shocked if this offense averages 35 plus
points. Just because
they'll
be slinging that ball all over.
Well, and I mean, you talk about what did Texas do defensively. Well, they just went cover two the whole night, gave help on Hardy. So, you know, he only had 3 catches in the game. So what did Tech do? Well, we got weapons on the inside this year, and Powell and Smoke and Hebert and Stanley really made them pay. And if we're being honest with it, if you're a Conference USA team and you're watching that game film, you can't double Hardy.
Right.
You know, you're going to have some
issues.
You'll
lose somewhere else.
Yeah,
right.
You're going to lose at other spots, which we haven't seen the last couple of years. Is, you know, when Rashid Bonnet was healthy, did he make plays? Yes. You know, was Teddy Ville a good receiver? Yes, but he wasn't really creating a whole lot of separation. So I was encouraged by the offense, but I'm not saying it's a finished product, a product that we should say, man, those guys played great. They put 413 yards. It was smooth sailing. That's not what I'm saying, but I was encouraged with what I saw.
Right, and I would say that watching that game, even going over the stats, I was just surprised. Like, Jamar had 331 yards passing. I wouldn't have guessed that. And
no, I agree.
And some of the other stats as well, it didn't look that bad on paper, but the score reflected differently. Not to say that it's a moral win. The same people that are freaking out about this Bulldog team after the first game are the same people that, after next week, should be saying, oh, we're going to go undefeated the rest of the season.
Or like, they'll be the same people that are saying, oh, it was Grambling, it was FCS opponent.
Yeah.
Well, like, what do you want?
We're not really going to know what until we hit the stride of our Conference USA competition. But I think if you look closely, there is a lot to draw from this Texas game. There will be some to draw next week. Hopefully next week is a confidence builder. Hopefully it's just a really good competitive game that we see a lot of good things come out of the Bulldogs. Diaco's defense.
Let's talk about Diaco.
You want to talk about it?
And, you know, as the game ended and we've learned some more things the last 2 or 3 days, it was pretty evident that all the film that Tech watched on Texas was
accurate,
that
right?
Tom Herman's offenses don't get beat when you full-out blitz them all the time. Now, I found something really interesting. Post-game, Tom Herman said, they all-out blitzed us the whole game. I've only had Bob Diaco blitz me one time in 2 games prior to this one. They blitzed us the whole game. And Skip Holtz was asked that in his press conference, and he was like, what? Like, what is he talking about? He's like, we blitzed like 4 or 5 times the entirety of the night. So, like, I don't know what Tom Herman was seeing, but I thought Tech was pretty vanilla defensively. A lot of 3-man fronts with 3-man rushing the passer, 8 dropping into coverage. I didn't really love Willie Baker playing a lot in coverage, but I don't think Willie Baker is going to be relied on as a defensive back throughout the season. I think that was a single game plan that we'll see changed going forward. Now, Tech did not get any pressure on Ehlinger whatsoever. I think he was pressured only 8 times in the games. I think he threw it like 38 times, and he probably scrambled 4 more times, but he was only hit once. He was only sacked once. So Tech didn't get pressure. You have your DBs having to cover 5 to 6 seconds down the field. That's not a great recipe for success. Were there some blown coverages in the secondary that left Texas receivers wide open? You dang sure better believe it, because there were. But like you said, it's the first game of the season. It's a new scheme. The redshirt freshman Williamson was a part of 3 or 4 of those coverage breakdowns. You just got to get some of those things cleaned up. Like you said, with Grambling coming this week, it's a little bit of a confidence builder. You clean up some of the mistakes, and then you really turn, you know, to Bowling Green the following week to figure out what you really are as a football team. But I'm not going to say I was encouraged by the defense, because I wasn't. But at the same time, I'm just going to hold judgment, because watching fall camp, all 25 practices that I was at, like, how many times did Tech 3-man rush? Like, 12% of the time, maybe? Yeah. Like, that's not what we're going to see throughout the year.
Right, this is a little bit of what I call it is what it is. Texas has the luxury.
I like it that you call it that.
Do you like it? Well,
original,
here's my theory. Let me tell you. Teams like Texas, they have the luxury of having a tune-up game.
They do.
Not saying that Tech's a tune-up opponent, but, BC, it is what it is. Texas gets to work out some of those details against a team that they should beat.
Yep.
And Tech has to go play some bigger schools.
Well, one thing I'm glad about, Tech's done with Power 5 opponents this year. You got 11 straight opponents against Tech's caliber that you can't tell me for sure in the next 11 weeks that Tech is going to, you know, has a 90% chance of losing.
Right.
Like, they have a great chance to win the next 11 games. Will they do it? You and I both don't think so, but that doesn't mean that you don't even need
to tee
the ball
up. We don't have that
game
in the middle of the schedule. You're like, we got to get past that one, and then we'll be in our stretch.
Exactly,
right. 100%. And so you talking about Diaco's defense, do you think there was any portion of the defense that wasn't rolled out yet? Was it?
I think all the exotic blitz schemes, the twisting and the stunting up front and with the linebackers, those are things that we're going to see more and more throughout the year that cause some confusion. And keep in mind, this Texas team plays a 3-4 defense, which you're not going to see, you know, other teams aren't going to play a 3-4 defense, so their offensive lines are going to have trouble adjusting to some of those twists and stunts. So that's really what we got for the Texas game. Coming up in tonight's show in the next segment, Santoria Black, voice of the Grambling State Tigers, will join us. Tech and Grambling will play this weekend inside Joe Addy Stadium. Kickoff set for 2:30 p.m.
Ooh, it's going to be toasty, BC.
Going to be a little warm. Make sure you start drinking some H2O. Also coming up later on, Skip Holtz, head coach of the Bulldogs, will join us at 7 p.m. Also, Beck, last segment of the show. We always say that fan is short for fanatic. Well, guess what? We're about to find out some La Tech fanatics. I went searching through social media to get the biggest hot takes throughout the game on Saturday.
Are you telling me the Tech fans are not always level-headed?
No! Gonna read them anonymously.
Can't wait, BC.
Gonna read them anonymously, but you'll get a kick out of it. Anyways, we'll be right back. Santoria Black on the other side. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen Portable Buildings in all sizes, from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with a new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call call 699-9426. Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Louisiana Tech, home opener this weekend inside Joe Ice Stadium against the Grambling State Tigers. Now joining us on the Fairway Carts Hotline, the voice of the Grambling Tigers, Santoria Black. San, usually you're interviewing me on Thursdays. Tonight I'm interviewing you. A little bit of role reversal. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. I feel honored to be on the show today, man. I'm in high cotton today, so I really appreciate it, brother.
I hear you. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into things. You know, this will be the first time Louisiana Tech and Grambling have met inside Lincoln Parish. And, you know, we've all lived in or around Ruston for so long, and it's really seems crazy that the two teams have never met inside Lincoln Parish. Talk a little bit about what this means from Grambling's side of things now that the two teams finally get to clash.
I think this is a big deal. You know, when you start looking at the first time that these two teams did meet was in a Port City Classic, obviously, in Shreveport some years ago. But now that the two teams are in Lincoln Parish, I think it means a lot. You know, a lot of these guys, they play together. You know, they live near each other, you know, as far as proximity and all of that. So I think this is a really big thing for the community. This is officially the shortest trip ever in the history of Grambling State University football. It is the shortest trip. So I think that this is great from that standpoint, that fans can just come right down the street, tailgate. I mean, these are neighbors. These are friends that we'll be tailgating with, people we do business with every single day, and it's right in your backyard. So it's like this entire community getting together, putting together this big event. So I'm really excited about it, and I know a lot of Grambleites are excited about it as well.
And I just want to touch a little bit on the job that Broderick Fives has done since coming back to Grambling, obviously a Grambling alum. You know, 45-17, entering his sixth year at Grambling, 36-5 in SWAC play. He's just done an incredible job at resurrecting the program that had gone through, you know, a little bit of lean times, you know, in the years prior to him getting there. But talk about the job that he's done. He's not only a great football coach, but a real quality man as well.
He is, and I think that transcends into the players that he has as well. When you think about, just as you said, when he took the program over, it was at its lowest state in probably its history. And to see where he's been able to take this program has been just incredible. And I think it all starts with three things. The first thing is about the discipline and, you know, making sure that the players understand that, you know, there has to be discipline in the way you play and there's discipline and consequences in your actions. The second thing is, you know, just gaining that trust, understanding that we have to trust each other in order for this program to work. And these players trust him. They know him. And the third thing is you have to give 100%. When you look at this team practice, they don't practice 3 and 4 hours. This team might practice a couple hours, and they're moving like 110% from the time that they get on the field. When they're changing stations, they're moving at 110%. When they're going to get the water break, they're moving at 110% because he wants to simulate how game day is. And the faster that they move, the quicker that they move, you're going to simulate speed. So there is no 50% speed. There's zero and there's 100. And even when they have on shirts and shoulder pads, it's moving, making sure that you have that ball and you're moving at the speed that you're going to be on game day.
And, you know, you look at this Grambling team on the field, obviously week one on the road at ULM. You know, the score's probably a little bit, you know, it doesn't look as close as the game really was, with the final being 31-9. But one player that Coach Holtz really singled out today in his press conference was quarterback Jeremy Hickbottom. I know he's now a redshirt sophomore and really seems to be coming into his own. Talk a little bit about, you know, what makes him so good as a quarterback and how he's really progressed from his freshman year now into his sophomore season.
Well, I think after you had Devontae Kincaid that left, and, you know, there was, you know, a couple of instances where Jeremy Hickbottom was able to come into the game when he got hurt against Arizona. Then, you know, Hickbottom came in for a little while and what have you. But if you really start looking at what Hickbottom is able to do, he took the team over last year. Last year was his year to understand that this is your team. And I think that he went through a lot of growing pains. And during the spring and during the fall camp, he really worked hard on making sure that he continues to make great decisions with the football. You know, there wasn't a sack given up against ULM on Saturday night. That also, not only was that about the offensive line, but it was also about what Hickbottom was able to do with his feet and getting the ball out of bounds or throwing the ball away or making a play. And so he's really improved his footwork. He's improved throwing that ball. His motion has improved. And, again, it's all about the decisions. He's not afraid to pull the ball down and run with it. And what we saw on Saturday was about, you know, a year of improvement, of looking at what you did on film the year before and being able to take that and say, hey, I'm going to have better footwork. I'm going to have a better throwing motion. And Kendrick Nord, who's a quarterback coach, really works with him hard in making sure that they understand that your technique, your footwork, how you plant your feet, getting your shoulders square and making sure that you deliver a good ball, it's all about that. So he's really improved on the technique in being a quarterback.
And, you know, you look at the game against ULM, and I know Coach Fobbs talked about in his press conference on Monday some of the red zone struggles that Grambling had, just unable to finish drives, and Tech had some of the similar issues against Texas. Will that be, you know, Grambling's main focus throughout the week, is shoring up some of those red zone issues?
Oh, it's about finishing. You know, when you know that you can move the ball, now it's just about finishing. And what one of the things that they're looking at is making sure you don't make mistakes. If you look at the penalties, I think that Grambling had 10 penalties for almost 90 or a little over 90 yards in the game against ULM, and they were costly penalties. One penalty cost Grambling a touchdown. They had to call it back. You had another ball that was dropped, which is a sure touchdown, so you can't do those. Those are mistakes. And sometimes you don't see those on the stat sheet, but that was a key mistake. You know, Garrett Irvin had to kind of shake the dust off and the cobwebs, missed a field goal, had another field goal blocked, which, you know, that was a protection breakdown and missing an extra point. So if you think about that, that's 14, 17, 18, somewhere around 21 points that you left on the field there. And then once you are moving the football, it's being able then to make certain that you're opening up those gaps for your running backs, that you're giving your quarterback enough time to pass the ball, you're running those routes the right way, and then you're finishing those drives. And that's going to be the difference, I think, in a lot of the games that you're going to see this year with Grambling. They have to finish those drives. And really, the receivers got to pull those balls in. That's another thing that they're going to talk about this week, is making sure when you're open and you got your hands up, you have to look the ball in before you're thinking about your next action so you can make a good catch. You know, look, that's one of the things. Making mistakes, you know, you're 18 to 22 years old, you're going to make mistakes. But I think it's where you make the mistakes and the timing that you make the mistakes that makes a difference from you, you know, making a game, maybe a field goal game, maybe tying a game up. You know, and even in the defensive side of the football, making sure you don't have two men in the gap so you don't have wide open holes. Because if you look at the stats, there was about three, maybe four plays that were long plays and set up touchdowns. So now the defense has got their heels on their backs, or heels on the back of the end zone, and now it makes things a lot easier for ULM. So those are just some things that I know that they're going to talk about this week.
And, you know, you talk about that defense for Grambling. You know, Everett Todd, I believe, is in his sixth season as the defensive coordinator, and Coach Holtz raved about the job that he does on that side of the ball, really an attacking scheme that he uses. You know, sometimes he'll leave his corners a little bit on an island. But talk about the Grambling defense. I know they're trying to overcome the loss of a Deontay Christmas, who was so good at linebacker, it seemed like forever. Talk a little bit about the Grambling defense and some of the playmakers on that side of the ball.
Well, man, you got to start up front with Anthony Mullins. He's just a beast, and he's put on some muscle mass this year, this summer, and you can tell he's a lot bigger, he's a lot stronger. Getting him to move to the ball is very, very important. You start looking at your linebacking core, you start looking at a guy like Joseph Williams in the secondary, how important that he's going to be in covering. You know, these are guys that are really, really going to be important for the Grambling defense. You've got a decent secondary. They can move to the ball well. They play, you know, five guys in the backfield. And then, of course, you got your three down linemen and your four linebackers, or your three linebackers. So I think it's just about making sure that your defensive front can get to the quarterback. Because let's just be honest, if you look at that game that Louisiana Tech had against Texas, they had no problem passing the ball. I think Jamar had over 330 yards passing, while on the running game, he only had about 60 or 70 yards running the football. So that means with those talented receivers that you have out there, your corners are going to have to stay busy, and your safeties are going to have to make sure that you have everything in front of you. If you let Isaiah loose a little bit and you bite on one of those moves he has a quick ability of stutter-steppering and then taking off on a route. If you let him get behind you, he is so talented and so fast, and he catches that football, it's awfully hard to catch him. So they're telling those guys, keep everything out in front of you. Don't bite on a lot of those fakes and get yourself to a position where you have to try to catch up and arm tackle. And that's the other thing. You got to wrap up. You know, you've got talented running backs, you know, in that backfield where you have the ability to run the ball. So you have to make sure that you wrap up.
And one last question before we let you go. What are a couple of your keys to the game for Grambling Saturday afternoon?
Well, I think, first of all, you have got to make sure that you keep that yellow laundry off the field. Those are things that are drive killers. So I think you have to cut down on the penalties and the mistakes, you know, pulling in those balls, especially when you're, you know, wide open in the seam, or if you're wide open on the sideline. You got yourself out there on the island where you basically have guys that are playing zone. You have to catch those balls. So I think that's the first thing. Defensively, they have got to put pressure on Jamar. You let him just sit back there and pass the football, you know, he might have 1,000 yards. He is a very talented quarterback. So I think you have to put pressure on him, and you have to force him to run the football. You cannot let him just stay out there. And I think from a coverage standpoint, it's being able to make sure that you cover well. You know, the better that you cover those guys, you know, you reduce the opportunity for them to get good receptions. They're going to get theirs, but you have to really cover the receiver as well. So I think you got to put pressure on the quarterback. You got to not make a lot of mistakes, and you have to cover extremely well.
Absolutely, Sam. Well, we certainly thank you for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we're certainly looking forward to not only a fun game Saturday afternoon, but a great atmosphere as well.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be look, one thing I told my wife about is you may not need a grill out there because it'll be 102, so if you put the ribs out there early enough, they'll probably be done by the time game time happens.
Absolutely.
Sam, you expect Grambling to travel well, you know, despite the heat? I mean, we're worried a little bit about Tech fans. I just want to know what we can expect from Grambling.
Well, you know, look, it is going to be hotter than the devil outside. You know, I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not quite sure what the programming knowledge was behind, you know, not understanding this is Louisiana, and that if the devil has left town, maybe we should too and wait until the sun goes down. But that's another story. I think that there's going to be a little bit of a concern because it is going to be 102 degrees. Heat index might be 105, 110. And down on the field, good Lord, you could put a cake down there, and by the time the fourth quarter happens, you can put frosting on it. So I think that it's just going to make, you just have to make certain that, you know, you create the best atmosphere as possible. I think the fact that they've got a cool zone downstairs and free water that's going to be available for fans, I think those are the kinds of things that separate programs, because you having those things will make your fans say, hey, we got a cool zone downstairs. We can go down there. We can chill out. We can have the fan. We have nice little mist and things like that. Maybe go back to our seats. So those little touches, I think, really make a difference when it's going to be hotter than I don't know what outside. I'm telling you, I told my daughter, your science project is bring a skillet, some spam, and two eggs outside. And I bet you by the time you get done with this game, that spam will be ready and those eggs will be fried, and you can take a picture of it and get an A in your class.
Absolutely, Sam. We'll see you Saturday afternoon.
Take care, brothers.
Santoria Black, voice of the Grambling State Tigers, certainly some good stuff. And you know, when we come back from the break, we'll kind of dive in a little more to this Grambling State football team. I, you know, looking at the early line, I think it's somewhere around Tech's favored by 28.5, but I have some thoughts on this one. So let's go ahead, take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll preview the Grambling Tigers. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Acme Glass and Mirror, we have so much more. Whether business, home, or auto, we have the glass you're looking for.
Here at Atme Glass and Mirror, our mission is to provide you the best quality and service at a great price. Our multi-location inventory offers you the best value for your investment. Call us or stop by one of our many locations or visit us online at atmeglassandmirror.com.
Give us a break and we'll shine through.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART. And go Bulldogs!
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech home opener, Saturday afternoon, Joe Ice Stadium, 2:30 p.m. kickoff. NFL Network, Beck, you know where that channel's at. You like some Red Zone?
Yeah, I watch the Red Zone just about every weekend when I get home from church and turn on the TV. My dish already knows what channel I'm going to, and it is on every week.
Are you going to record this game and do some, I don't know, film breakdown?
You know I always do, BC, and I don't plan on breaking that stretch. But what's going to be tough, I will be there, Ben, but it's a little tempting to just sit on the couch and watch the game.
But, you know,
I'm the average fan, Ben, so tell me why I need to come to the game.
Well, Beck, and Sam mentioned it in the prior segment about how, you know.
This is a real deal. You say fair weather, but we always think of rain. But we're talking heat, too.
Beck, I'm not going to lie. 2 weeks ago, it was a 10 a.m. scrimmage for Tech. It was, I don't know, 90, 95 degrees. And I was standing with Tech's photographer, Tom Morris, and he had his little thermometer down there. And you don't know what the turf was?
115.
A swift 127.
That's, I mean, you can feel it.
It's so hot. But 10 feet over in the shade, it was like 95.
Right, but that's at, what, 10 a.m.? Yeah. 2:30 in the afternoon.
It's going to be 140.
By my math, it's going to be 160.
Maybe they'll spray the turf down.
Here's the deal, BC. It is a real thing.
There's
I know of like what I would call is hardcore fans that are not going.
No, I agree. No, and that's you're not the only one to talk to. I've talked to many of them, and they just say it's too hot. But I say,
but you can't.
It's never too hot for a tan.
I didn't realize they were doing. Is that what you say?
It's never too hot for a tan.
Look for that on a T-shirt, ladies and gentlemen. Will be available to you. Very soon.
Never too hot for a tan.
I didn't realize they were giving away free water and Cool Zone.
Absolutely. Actually going to have vendors walk in the stands selling some ice cold Aquafina. Ice cold Dasani.
We did. Tell fans why they need to show up, BC.
Listen, it's the home opener.
It is. Against Grambling. It's never been played in Lincoln Parish ever.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere.
It will.
I'm
praying for a light breeze.
I'm praying for a light rain. Saturday,
either way, me and BC will be in the shade. So.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Come see us.
Hey, get that sunglasses tan, bro. You'll have your sweet Oakley zone. Got a good friend of the program on the Fairway Carts Hotline, Chase. How are we doing tonight, Chase?
Go Dogs. How about them Dogs?
How about them? What you got?
2013 grad here, and I can remember going to games when I was in school and just loved them. Don't think I ever remember going to one when it was 103 degrees, but I'm going to do it Saturday.
It's going to be a hot one. I'll say this, and I know you have young kids just as I do. My young kids aren't making it out there.
Yeah, if it was 95, I might take them and at least stay a quarter. but yeah, it's just going to be me going solo this weekend.
I hear you. What's your prediction for the game this weekend?
Oh, good question. I think Grambling's definitely been on the upswing in the last two or three years. They are FCS, though, so I think we should win. I'm going to say about 38-10.
I'll take it. 38-10. Thanks for the call, Chase.
All right. Go Dawgs.
You can call us just like Chase did on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you.
Be like Chase.
Call us. We'd love to hear from you. But, you know, you look at this Grambling team, and we talked a little bit about it with San. The quarterback, Jeremy Hickbottom, and I know if I ever mention Pro Football Focus, you hate it.
I don't hate it.
You're like you can't measure leadership based on some data and analytics. That's what
I do believe that.
Okay, well, here we go. Jeremy Hickbottom, you don't know what his grade was against ULM. Keep in mind, this is a 31-9 loss.
So I'm assuming it's going to be higher than what I think it should be. 85.
90.5.
What? How does that even happen?
He's the type quarterback that gives Tech issues. A quarterback that can move around a little bit, can get outside the pocket and make some plays. So if there is a concern coming into this game, I think that has a chance to be one of those things that keeps Grambling in the game.
Just the ability to extend the play.
Yeah. Well, and we saw it the other night at Texas. You know, I thought Jamar moved around a little bit better than he has in years past.
Yeah, you've been saying that all spring.
And he extended some plays. Yeah, he extended some plays, right. made some throws on the run.
There we go.
Yeah. One of our favorite callers. And you're all thinking Robbie and Chalmette, but you're wrong. It's the FedEx guy. FedEx, what you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Pretty good. What you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's overreacting on the Heat thing.
Enlighten us.
Okay. You know, I'm out in it every day.
Delivering packages.
It was a month ago, a month and a half ago, it was 86, 87 degrees, and I thought I was going to die because the heat index was going to 115 because the dew point.
Yeah.
So everybody's overreacting,
The dew point and humidity down. It's actually almost nice compared to that 87, 88 we had with the dew point up there. So, I mean, I'm out in it. You know I know about it. So
what's your expectation Saturday from a crowd standpoint?
Well, a lot of them are looking for a reason not to go anyway, you know. So.
That's fair.
I mean, it's football time. It's time to get out, you know.
That's why we'll be there.
Well, hey, enjoyed it. Enjoy your show. So thank you.
Thanks for calling us, FedEx, man. We'll shout you out next week.
Thank you.
You can be like Chase. You can be like the FedEx guy. You heard him. Heat index was 115 in June. It'll only be 107 on Saturday afternoon. Make sure you make it to Joe Ice Stadium. But, you know, touching a little bit more on Hickbottom, I really think, and we were talking about the 28-point spread in this one, I'll be real honest, I think Grambling covers that. I think it's closer than a 28-point game. I don't think, and I know you like to call him eight, but I think we see Jamar for a near four quarters. Elliott might get the last drive, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than the experts think. Grambling's not Southern.
Right.
And I know Grambling fans like to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big game for Grambling. It's a big game for Tech.
No, I agree. It's a big game for Lincoln Parish.
Absolutely. I mean, Ben, over the years, we've learned to not assume things on either side.
I agree.
So and you know how much I really don't like really strong takes one way or the other, you know?
Oh, yeah, you're
I'm a pretty neutral guy. So
you really
it's
like
tough for
mild
me to,
takes.
Yeah, it's just, I like a mild take, yeah. So it's tough for me just to be like, oh, Tech's going to blow Grambling out because I just wouldn't be surprised if that didn't happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen.
So if Jamar goes out,
I know that's not a really glamorous point of view, but
let me ask you this.
Ask me.
And I wasn't anticipating going down
this. You never are.
This wormhole.
Yep.
But Jamar throws for 331 yards. We talked about it. It wasn't a great performance, but it was solid. It was a step forward.
Right, of course.
Now, what does he have to do on Saturday to make you come in and say, I'm calling him Jamar next week? Or can he?
I don't know if he can, being Grambling, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I need halfway through the season, you know?
Okay, so we got another 4 or 5 weeks.
But, you know, just efficiency, Ben. I mean, we don't need to drag this out. It doesn't need to be a big, long, huge ordeal. If Jamar comes out, if 8 comes out and commands the offense and moves the ball well, I mean, he's not going to complete every single pass. Drive is going to end in a touchdown.
Really, big thing is you want to see some.
I want to see some leadership.
Yeah.
And, Ben, let me touch on that real quick. We didn't get to last week. We had a segment plan that we may see in the future.
A little Doug Gottlieb special.
Is that who you stole that from?
Yeah, that's big deal, little deal, no deal.
No deal. And, BC, I'm going to hit you with the only one that I'm really interested in.
Let's hear it.
8 didn't get voted to be a captain again. Senior year, third year starting, team doesn't vote him. What do you think?
Beck, I think that's a good question. That's something that, you know, we talked about on Bleed Tech Blue.
Is it an abundance of other leaders? Is it a lack of 8's leadership? What is it, BC? Because that kind of is a big deal to me, I'm being honest.
I'm going to answer this question two different ways. I think, you know, obviously when you look at Jamar's first two, and you, first off, you know where I stand with Jamar.
I know where you stand. And I'm not far off, honestly. I'm a little more ridiculous, but I'm not
far off.
I like
Jamar. I think Jamar's extremely talented, but also see some of the faults that he's had through his first 2 years as a starting.
And just to clarify, more my issues with 8 is just like knowing what he can do.
Exactly.
I know he's talented. I know he's got the skills. I know that he has, we see flashes of it. And nobody is 100% perfect or consistent, but
so
he just leaves me a lot to be desired.
No,
but I know he's got it.
That's fair. Now, let's talk about the two offensive captains. Who are the two offensive captains? And I've talked with multiple people about this. So your first captain's Cody Russey, a redshirt junior center.
Great hair.
He shaved his head.
Last year, he
had great hair. I'm glad you've been at fall camp. But anyways.
There's so many of them running around.
Yeah. So, anyways, you really know what you're talking about, average fan. But Cody Russey, and I've talked with multiple people about this, like I said, one of the best leaders that some on the staff have ever been around. So, him being voted a captain is not surprising at all. And if you come out to fall camp and watch practice, you wouldn't be surprised. He is a leader. He is a defensive leader. He is extremely vocal. And he really, his presence is really known out
there. What's the makeup? 2 defense, 2 offensive captains?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so he takes one of the spots, no questions asked.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was coming.
Okay.
So the other offensive captain is Bobby Holly. Bobby Holly's a former walk-on from Union Parish in Farmville. And if you watch Bobby Holly, does he play a huge role in the offense? No, he doesn't. He'll probably see 200 snaps this year out of a possible 1,000. But Bobby Holly's that guy that's just extremely likable, a guy that everybody wants to be around, but also a guy that has no problem saying, look here, here's what's going on, you need to figure it out.
Right.
So was I surprised he was voted captain? No. Now, speaking about Jamar not being a captain, we talked about his faults the last couple of years, some of the bad body language, some of those types of issues that were obvious to even a fan that's come to only 1 or 2 games.
Correct.
That's a way to say it.
Yeah, but you're not talking about me because I go to all the games.
Yeah,
okay.
You've seen this. So,
right. Yeah.
Now, have I seen a change in Jamar's leadership qualities and the way he goes about his business? I believe that I have. Now, he talked about this, and we talked a little bit about it last week in the press conference. He talked about how he's realized he's got to be a better teammate. He's got to be more understanding of his role in the offense. He's got to be more of a distributor. He's got to be more of a guy that takes responsibility for things that happen on the field with the offense.
Is it too late?
Well, that's the question. And I think a little bit of it, you know, can you gain that trust from the spring to the summer to the fall? That's the big question. And so, you can or you can't. I mean, the 2 fifth-year senior quarterbacks, Driscoll and Sokol, did it. But
yeah, but it's a lot easier.
They had never been here.
Well, that, and it's a lot easier to. It's harder to make up ground that you've lost.
Yeah,
there's
more recency bias.
Start from zero, right?
Yeah. And so I think he had a lot of ground to make up. Now, by the middle of this season, do I think he has a chance to be a guy that this team looks to from a leadership standpoint? Absolutely. And
I think it's going to take game plays.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just it's going to be more than practice. It's going to be Jamar trucking somebody at the goal line or.
Well, I think you can watch on Saturday at the game, how he interacts with his teammates on the bench, I think you'll see a major difference. Like, I've seen a major difference in the communication that he has with his offensive linemen when they come off. So that's something. So little deal, big deal, no deal. I'm going to say a little deal, right? I'm not going to say it's no big deal at all because it's not. Obviously, you want your three-year starting quarterback to be a captain, but it's also not something that should be overblown. It's not like two random players were voted captains just out of left field. It was two players that had an established role on this team, like a Bobby Holly. Like, he's a leader for this team. Does he play a huge role on the field? No, but he's a leader. And so that's kind of where I stand at. You can agree, you can disagree. You can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762, and you can chew me out and tell me I'm wrong. But that's kind of where I stand at.
Well, I think you're wrong, but you know, I'm not going to chew you out.
Yeah, well, just keep wearing your media pass inside the Sports Talk 97.7.
I'm excited,
studios.
BC.
Let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back from the break. Don't talk a little barbershop.
Talk, BC.
Barbershop. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Hey, DQ fans, the two for $4 Super Snack is here to be your new snack time fuel up. Conquer the day and every crave by mixing and matching any two of your favorite snacks, like pretzel sticks and sundae, a cheeseburger and a Coke, or fries and chicken strips. And for only $4, that's pure snack power. Which combo will you try first? Swing by and find snack-tisfaction today. Only at your DQ. Happy taste good.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Beck, get you a nice little haircut.
Yeah, no haircut, BC, but I do call this segment Barber Talk, or Barbershop Talk.
Let's
Ben,
hear it.
I'm out in the community. Everybody thinks Beck's on the radio.
Wait, do you
He's
wanna,
a genius.
Hold on. Do you want to call it the shop?
No.
Trademark it like
No,
LeBron?
I don't want to get sued by Bron Bron.
Wait, did you hear he came up with Taco Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't First he? One to ever say that.
Yeah. Back in September of 2019. Ooh. Yeah, let me hear
All right,
it.
Like I said, so I'm out in the community. People are like, Beck's on the radio. He's a genius. He knows everything about
Let me tell
sports.
Beck this. Yeah.
Let me tell Beck my thoughts. This is what I'm hearing. So, Ben, I know what you're going to do. You're going to assume these are my ideas. I'm not taking credit for them. I'm not saying I don't agree with some of them, but you'll never know which ones. So I'm going to hit you with something, and I'm going to let you refute it. Or
let's hear it.
We talked about this a little bit earlier. What I'm hearing, Jamar looks the exact same. Hadn't changed a thing. Kind of skinny now. Throws it in double coverage, though. Even missed a TD throw. Same old QB, BC.
Well, first off, if anyone said that at the bar,
no, I'm shop, hearing it. Well, I've heard it multiple sources.
Well, they're not right. They're wrong. First off, QBs miss throws. That's part of life. That's part of life. You're going to miss throws.
Right.
Now, Jamar is trimmed down. I wouldn't call him skinny.
Right.
Yeah, they act like he's modeling for a magazine. He's trimmed down. I think he
played throws into
better.
Double coverage, Ben.
Oh, yeah. So does Tom Brady. No one cares. Let's go straight to the Fairway Carts hotline. talk with our good friend Colin. Colin, what you got for us tonight?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. What you got for us tonight?
Colin, in regards to the chop talk y'all are doing, I'm glad you mentioned LeBron, and I'm going to make sure to tweet him to let him know that y'all are infringing upon his copyright.
No, we're not. We're not infringing.
The copyright laws he's made.
Yeah, let him know.
I will. But regarding J-Mar, with the leadership issue, I do think it is a little deal. I do think that if he was do a little better in the red zone, then maybe everybody would be a little bit happier. We got to score more touchdowns when we get down there. You know, we moved the ball well against Texas, but couldn't punch it in when we needed to. That was disappointing, but it's kind of been par for the course over the last few years.
No, I completely agree with you. And, you know, you talk about those red zone woes that we've seen, like you said, over the last couple of years. I think, you know, we saw Saturday night Malik Stanley, Griffin Hebert, two bigger receivers. I have to wonder, you know, if this year those bigger guys that we haven't seen are going to be able to help out down there. But I also think it's important. Tech has to be able to run the ball down there, you know, when some of those windows close up in the passing game.
Certainly. I know we weren't really able to establish a running game much. Got behind quick, so that was part of it. I was impressed more with their defensive line than maybe I was led to, or than I knew going into the matchup. So I think they got a couple of defensive tackles that are going to be big time players for them. But I think these next four or five games are all winnable, maybe even more than that. So we'll see how he does down the stretch, and we could be on a roll here by midseason, and maybe Beck's got to actually call him by his first name.
We're hoping so.
We'll see, Colin.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the call. But, yeah, I think those concerns that Colin voiced are absolutely accurate.
I mean, Ben, I'm just going to keep it real simple. I'm not trying to bash 8, okay? Probably a great guy. All I'm saying is
– No, let me tell you something.
No, let me finish. I'm just saying it's more than just on the field. And if he's not being voted a captain, that's telling me something off the field, but Ben. That's my issue.
Yeah, we're done with that. So let's talk a little bit about into double coverage. Like,
that's not me. I didn't say that.
Throwing into double coverage. Do you remember the Rice game last year when Adrian Hardy made that incredible catch? I'm pretty sure you would throw it into double coverage to him too.
Just telling you what I'm hearing.
Well,
next one.
I would.
Next one. This is a good one, BC.
No, I think you go to a beauty shop, not a barbershop.
It's not even at the – it's just a term of, like, out in the – you know, the coffee shop, lunch.
Beauty shop.
The office. All right, next one. Tech could not stop a flag football team with his defense. What was Diaco doing Saturday night?
Listen.
Get him out of town.
Listen, I talked about this in the first segment. It was a vanilla game plan. It was a game plan that was designed to rush 3, drop 8, keep everything in front of you. Don't let the big receivers for Tech – or Texas make big plays down the field. Now, did it work? No. Is there reason for concern? Okay, that's fine. 10%. But run a D coordinator out of town? I'm not ready yet. This defense for Tech has plenty of talent. Now, will they be the 27th ranked defense in the country like they were a year ago? I doubt it. But did you think they were going to be the 27th ranked defense in the country last year? No. So, listen, hold your horses. Tell your homeboys to chill out. Yeah. Some things are going to get figured out. The more comfortable they get with the scheme, and get some things figured out.
Yeah, I agree.
RELAX.
You heard it. All right, next. We touched on it earlier because I told you this one. Shouldn't have said anything, but Tech should give Carly Lloyd a call. I hear she can kick field goals because we certainly have a problem. BC, that is yeah. It's been what? 2 years, 3 years now since we've had a really reliable kicker.
But listen, I
can't imagine how frustrating that is for Skip to get down there. Like you said in the press conference today, we're about to be down. It's going to be 7-3. We'll go and keep the game close. Psych.
Well, I think it's
not even close.
I certainly agree. I'm concerned about the kicking game, and that's on Bailey Hale to figure it out. He's a senior. He's been through the battles. He's kicked in Power 5 environments. He's kicked in front of environments that resemble high school stadiums. The bottom line is Tech has to be able to have a reliable field goal kicker from 43 yards and in. Is that fair?
Sure.
I don't think
I think every team would love to have a reliable field goal kicker.
Well, I don't think what I'm saying is I don't think anyone's expecting him to hit, you know, Matt Prater 57 yards in Denver.
Right, but I mean – I don't understand.
Like
there's,
a 43.
What, there's, what, there's like 100 and something, 110 schools in the country, Division I schools in the country?
130, yeah.
130? You tell me there's not 130 kickers across America? Matt Nelson's got 40 of them at camp on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Find one that can kick a field goal.
Heck, I agree. There's a level, there's a concern.
Sorry.
There's a concern.
Backup QB ain't ready for nothing. Three throws, one pick, 9 yards. I heard it everywhere. Well, if you're mad at 8, you better get over it because backup ain't ready. Ben, what do you think? Comes in with a minute to go in the game.
Isn't that your favorite player?
Whoa. I like the kid, okay? I really do. Also,
listen.
Here's a little known fact about Mr. Weston Elliott. He hadn't played in just a ton of games.
Listen, I think Weston Elliott's a good kid. I think it would be a solid quarterback. It's not easy to come off the bench.
That's what I'm saying. It's not easy to come off the bench
into a game and immediately be into a rhythm. I get it. You haven't thrown a pass in 3 hours and you're asked to go in. I get it. But at the same time, I think Jamar, as you would call him, 8, is Tech's best option this year.
I agree. But I think that's – yeah. I think my point is Weston's been here 3 years. Like, he just hadn't seen any field. I mean, it's got to be tough as a quarterback. I'm defending him. I'm saying it's got to be tough to come in and really not have had hardly any game experience in a few years.
Like, I agree. But at the same time,
even know what I'm arguing for.
No,
I don't want
to look at what Tech did last year. Like, you can agree or disagree, but they were trying to do what was best for the program and get Weston in a red shirt. So you can't just throw 100%. Him into the games when you're trying to help your program.
Oh, no doubt. I don't even know what the solution is. I'm just telling you. I think it's a little extreme.
Well, I appreciate your honesty.
All right, last but not least, I got pretty mixed emotions about the uniforms. Like, pretty fitty-fitty.
I'm going to be honest, I like them.
I know you like them. The players like them.
I think they're sharp. They're a different look.
There's some classic uniform appreciators out there that don't like them.
I think, listen, they are a change, and you know how we deal with change.
Well, you made
when I move from one cubicle to the next at work, I'm not too happy. But, hey, I like them.
Here's the deal. We mentioned it in the group message the other day. It's Adidas's template, correct?
Yeah, they're using it for Mississippi State, Miami, you know.
No shock here. If I look at them objectively, I'm like, wow, I like those. But then I look at them compared to what we had last year before, I like those better.
All right.
In case you're wondering. That's what I'm hearing.
I was wondering your opinion.
I know you were. That's what I'm hearing.
Let's go ahead. That's enough for the barbershop talk tonight. Beck's getting a mohawk. You'll see him at the game Saturday afternoon. We come back from the break. Head coach of the Bulldogs, Skip Holtz, joins us. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7. Be right back after this.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Game day can be every day with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Whether you want to hit the links in the number one golf cart in the world, spend family time in your Easy Go multi-passenger cart, or work around the home or farm with a new Easy Go utility cart, Fairway Carts can make it happen. So make your weekend last all week long with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART. Or visit online at fairwaycarts.net.
In 4-H clubs, camps, in-school and after-school programs, kids learn leadership, citizenship, and life skills while they participate in experiences that prepare them to be successful adults. I'm Robert Thompson, a Lincoln Parish 4-H senior leader. To learn about how to join 4-H or become a 4-H volunteer in our community, call 318-251-5134. That's 318-251-5134.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, joining you as we wait a couple minutes for Coach Skip Holtz to join us back. Got a couple of questions on the text line. One from Richie. What's up with the running game? I wish they could get it going. Beck, share a little bit of your thoughts on the run game.
BC, I wish we could get it going too, you know, but I don't think that's a reality. I think, like we touched on earlier, Tech's going to throw the ball 40, 45 times a game. And honestly, that needs to be our game plan this year, if you ask me.
Well, and I think you look at, you know, what is Tech's running game when it's going good? I think, you know, especially when you play a team like Texas that's so good in the trenches, it's hard to get, you know, a running game going. So if you're going to run it, you kind of have to do some of the extensions of it, some of the swing passes to your run game. And I thought Tech did that well. But let's go right to the Fairway Carts hotline where the head coach of the Bulldogs, Skip Holtz, joins us. Coach, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good, thank you. How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy time for you guys. Let's jump right into things. You talk about the Texas game last week. Obviously, it didn't go in you guys' favor. You're not satisfied, you know, with how the game went. But what were some of the positives that you were able to take away from this game on the offensive side of the ball? I thought Jamar really played well at quarterback.
No, I thought he did too. I thought he really had a good grasp. And really, we went into the game and had a kind of a mindset of a run game and play action pass. But the way the game got away from us and the way that they started blitzing us from both sides of the field, and they did a really nice job of disguising some things, turned into a little bit more of a drop back game as we fell behind in the score. But I thought Jamar did a really good job of managing the game. I thought he didn't put the ball in danger. He had the one pass that got intercepted that got deflected by the defender and popped up in the air. But, you know, I thought there were a lot of good things. I thought we had one sack. I thought we did a pretty good job of protecting against a team as aggressive as Texas was. I thought the line did a good job with that. We had a number of players step up. I mean, obviously, they watched the film a year ago when Adrian Hardy had 10 catches for 180 yards against LSU, and they did an awful lot to try and double-team him. But I thought guys like Malik Stanley, Isaiah Graham, C.J. Powell, Smoke Harris, Griffin Hebert, I thought they really stepped up and did a great job for us. And to be in that venue and that environment at the beginning of the year, I thought they stepped up and did some really good things.
Well, and I know, you know, y'all spent a lot of fall camp focusing on, you know, getting some things fixed in the red zone. And you mentioned Stanley and Hebert, and they made some big plays down in the red area. Talk about what they bring to your offense, especially with you being the play caller, how that'll help you guys out down there.
Well, you're talking about two inside receivers that are big targets, that are big bodies, that can block on the perimeter, can run routes, can go up and high point a football. Both of them catching man routes in the corner of the end zone where our two touchdowns were to Malik and Griffin. I think they bring an awful lot as big-bodied wide receivers. I'm certainly glad Malik came in here. And then with Zach Kauser being out with the knee, Malik Stanley ended up moving inside to the A position, and him and Griffin both have done a really good job. And like I said, they give us a little bit more of a dual threat, a guy that can block the perimeter with a big-body linebacker, but they can also get in mismatches in some one-on-one situations.
Right, coaches, you know, obviously the first game of the season is against a heavily favored Texas, and then your second game is against, you know, Texas, a heavy favorite against Grambling. Is it tough from a coaching perspective to get a real gauge on where you are as a team when you play such, quote-unquote, lopsided games? I mean, what is that like as a coach to evaluate your players?
Well, I think what we do is we may not like it, but we have a starting point right now. We may not like our starting point, but we know where we are. You go into a season, and a lot of the receivers that I just mentioned had never played for us. You don't know how they're going to show up. You go over on the defensive side of the ball, and you got guys like DJ Jackson and Stephen Shaw. Tristan Allen played. Willie Baker's first-time starter out there. You've got guys like Randy Hogan, Trey Baldwin, Connor Taylor that really haven't played a lot. B.J. Williamson hasn't played hardly at all. And getting in the start. So I think you learn a lot about your team, but we also learned that, I mean, they played hard, they competed. I did not feel like there was a play out there on the field where we were mismatched, where we were out of our league, or you know, what frustrated me and where I said you don't like your starting point was we made mistakes you can't make against a really good football team. We can't afford to turn the ball over three times at our end of the field. They had 70 yards of total offense and had 17 points off three turnovers, and you can't make those mistakes. We had two uncontested balls in the end zone on a blown coverage on the post route and the one down their sideline where you give up 14 uncontested points. I said if we're there, the ball probably doesn't go there, and he would have thrown the ball underneath, and we would have rallied and tackled it. But it wasn't like that we were there and it was one-on-one and they just beat us in one-on-one matchup. So I think, you know, there's definitely some things that we can grow from and learn from. And we've got to do a better job in the kicking game. That was probably the biggest head scratcher going into the game because Bailey Hale had a great camp. I mean, he's kicked the ball off 5 to 8 yards deep in the end zone. He played a year ago against LSU and Mississippi State. But, you know, and this is why I always say you don't know how a young man's going to react. He's from the state of Texas. He grew up idolizing the University of Texas. That's his flagship university, kind of like for a lot of our players a year ago when we played at LSU. And he went in there, and he wanted to do really well, and he tried really hard, but really probably tried too hard. He got a little uptight and didn't kick the ball very well. But I would think that what we've got to do from week one to week two, we've got to make huge strides in what we do, in playing not only hard football, but playing smart football. And I think if we can do that, then I'll be satisfied with our growth as we go from week one to week two.
And, you know, you mentioned the kicker, Bailey Hale, and really special teams in general. I know it's so hard to simulate those things at full speed throughout fall camp, but how tricky is that for you as a coach? I know kickers and punters are a little bit of a different breed in that they're only out on the field for 5 or 6 snaps a game, but how do you try to get those guys to relax and be able to perform up to their capabilities?
You know, you talk to them about just taking a breath, you know what I mean, trying to treat every day at practice like a game, and then when you go out there, you can't get too uptight. You know, I've got a friend of mine that played on the PGA Tour, and he said, you know, the driving ranges are full of guys that can hit it with the players on the PGA Tour, but how are you going to hit it when you're walking down 18 on Sunday at Doral, you know, and your name's on the leaderboard? How are you going to hit it then? And you don't know how you're going to hit it until you can put them in that situation. So you try and put pressure on them to kick for sprints and things along that line, but like I said, Bailey's played before, so this one came as a little bit of a head-scratcher. I think he'll be fine. Nobody was more frustrated with his performance than he was. And if he would have kicked the ball like that in practice, I would have went for it on 4th and 7 rather than kicking the field goal.
And you're looking ahead to Grambling this week, obviously the home opener. I know you guys are really excited to get back in front of your home crowd. It's an historic game, the first matchup between the two teams. Talk a little bit about the challenges of a 2:30 p.m. kickoff. When it gets to, you know, hydrating your players throughout the week, managing some of your snap count loads and things of that nature.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we've started school, and so now we're practicing in the afternoon. So you're in the seat all week. But at 2:30 kickoff, it's going to be hot, but it's going to be hot for both teams, and we're both going to have to play some depth because you're not going to be able to take a guy and have him play the whole game. You're going to have to rotate some players and make sure you keep your guys fresh, and we'll do everything we can to hydrate and try and make sure that even if we've got to IV a couple players beforehand to make sure those that have had problems with cramping, so we can do everything we can to eliminate it. But you know what? I think the opportunity to play Grambling, the opportunity to play on the NFL Network, to be the first college football game that the NFL Network has ever broadcast, and to know that that game is going to go from north to south, east to west, and across the entire country, as the NFL Network is not regional, is a great opportunity for both programs to showcase their universities on the field. And with it being just a couple miles apart, I mean, obviously it's a game that's going to have a lot of implications in the Lincoln Parish. And so I think that it's got all the makings to be a great atmosphere, a great day, and a great game. And it's a great opportunity for both these programs to showcase their universities and their proud traditions.
Absolutely. And one last question before we let you go. You talked a little bit today about the quarterback, Jeremy Hickbottom. Talk about the challenges that he's going to present to your defense on Saturday for being Grambling's quarterback.
Well, I've really been impressed with him. He's just a sophomore, and the way that he plays. You know, it was a 24-9 football game last weekend when they were playing ULM. It's 4th down, and he throws the touchdown pass. It got called back, and unfortunately they weren't able to put points up. But you go back and watch him last year as a freshman. He had great poise. His first play of the game a year ago as a freshman against Lafayette, he threw about a 50-yard bomb right on point. The moment's not too big for him. But when you look at him, the first guy back there, the first guy that he gets to, very rarely tackles him. He is very elusive. He's a dual-threat athlete. He is definitely the engine room of that offense. And I've really been impressed watching this freshman year and knowing how much he's going to grow and develop as he continues to play. But really been impressed with him as a quarterback. And I think that he definitely presents some challenges because they have some speed on the perimeter and they can run. So it's very difficult to just load the box to try and stop him, but because he can throw the ball. And so it'll be a good challenge for us, and one that I know our defense is looking forward to coming out of last week. He's a completely different quarterback than we played last week, and that last week was much more he stood in the pocket and threw it, where this week we're going to have to chase him around quite a bit more than we did last week.
Absolutely, Coach. We certainly thank you for taking some time out of your day, and we'll see you Saturday afternoon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on tonight. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great evening.
Coach Skip Holtz, head coach of the Bulldogs. Beck, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for Coach. I know he got a press conference on Tuesday, and then, you know, you're bugging him. So
yeah, keeping him busy.
We appreciate him coming on. This really is a historic game for Lincoln Parish.
I'm looking back more than playing Grambling. Obviously, it's historic, but it's the home opener in the Joe.
That's what I'm saying, Ben. It's a home opener. It's basically a home game-ish for both teams. It should be packed. It's going to be a little toasty.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead. Take an early timeout, Tate. Yeah. We'll have a little bit of a longer
BC.
Segment.
Wow.
Take an early timeout, Tate. So when we come back from the break, you think La Tech fans are fanatics? You ain't seen nothing yet. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen portable buildings in all sizes from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with the new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call 699-9426.
This is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Plan your next great escape and feed your soul with a trip to one of our state parks. Newly improved white sand beaches are ready to welcome you this summer at places like Fountain Loop State Park. Or how about a world-class fishing trip to Lido Bend, the number one bass lake in the nation, 2 years in a row. You can fish anywhere, but you catch fish in Louisiana. One great state, 21 great state parks. Plan your trip today at louisianatravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We wrap it up. Final segment of the show. A little different twist to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, something we hadn't done in the past.
We're going to make light of the situation.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with it. You know, we don't like to take life too serious.
Right.
If you think that you're a fanatic, then you'll make it into this segment. This is the most extreme hot takes across all social media
networks.
Yeah,
we worked
Twitter,
hard to find these.
Facebook, you name it.
Oh,
so we found it.
Right. Tech fans, we get it. You're watching
it's
the
anonymous.
Game. First game of the season. You're pumped.
It's
there's
overreaction
a bit of you,
Saturday.
There's a little bit of you that thinks, hey, we might win this game. But then as that reality came crashing down, the internet did not disappoint.
Hey, let,
so,
let
BC, I'm going to read you a couple of these that we found.
Again,
and
you worked
anonymous.
Hard on this. You worked hard on this.
And also, let me say this. During the game, I didn't disagree with a lot of these, okay? I'm right there with them.
Wait, hey, Bet might
have I might have wrote two
these.
Or three of these, yeah. All right, so I'm not sure at what point this was. Anyways, one frustrated commenter said, at this point, I believe Dr. Geis wants to slowly kill off all tech sports so he can focus more on funding the academic side of the school.
Yeah, let's
was it that bad?
Yeah, hey, Tapes, let's dial up the business building, baby.
That's right.
We're Harvard of the South.
That's right. After losing to a top 10 school in the country,
Geis is throwing
we're done.
It in.
Yep. All right. Another one. This is my personal favorite. We actually hear this quite a bit throughout the year. I'm freaking tired of putting my money into this program. Like, that's it. No more money's for you.
We'll see it not coming to
that's
a game.
Right. That's
I'm
right.
Done.
That's fine. That's fine. Oh, man. All right. What else we got here? Yeah. Okay. Here's some guy frustrated particularly with 8's play. LOL. They just said that Fitch told them, which Fitch is the offensive coordinator now, QB coach. Fitch told them that when Smith has time, he can be real good. That's any QB. And that's not true either about Jamar.
Wait, hold on a second.
That's true about everybody except Jamar. He's not good when he has time.
Hey, well.
I mean, come on. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, hey, no quarterback's ever good.
That's right. That's right. All right, next one. We got the classic, you know, some serious frustration with our O-line. But there was a point when Jamar had the ball tipped at the line, and he actually he had a pretty good hit, BC. Yeah. You know, you got the Jamar with the best tackle the Dogs have seen all night.
Well, hey, to be honest, the defense did miss a few tackles.
I did remember thinking, well, that was a smack.
So. Hey, laid him down.
I might have wrote that one.
One solo tackle.
That's right. Okay, here's one. This defense is pathetic. Like somebody said, the D practicing against the Matador O-line made them look good.
Oh, man.
Okay.
O-line was – I mean – they didn't run block well, but they were pretty good passing.
Right.
Like, come on.
All right. And I'm going to end with this one.
Is this your favorite?
This is my favorite. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say this.
Let's just beep it.
Okay, I'm going to bleep it. All right.
Just don't say the final word.
So, here we go. BC, I feel like I probably know at what point in the game this happened. Jamar still sucks. Skippy has done nothing to move this program forward, and all you Sunshine Pumpers can go blow it out your you-know-what.
You got to love the Sunshine Pumpers.
The Sunshine Bumpers, the positive thinkers, BC, apparently on this particular outlet, there was not many Sunshine Pumpers.
Beck, I hope we don't have many of these segments throughout the year, but my one thing is enjoy sports.
Enjoy. I mean, I know you love what I do see it, which, you know, it's kind of one of those
it's
things.
It's a passion.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's one of those things.
I love the passion.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in any relationship, well, Beck, when you do something irrational, it's like you can look and say, it's just because you love me. I know it is.
Yeah, like without a doubt.
Oh, so I do see through those. But, you know, sometimes when you wake up the next morning, sober up a little bit, you think about it and be like, hey, maybe it wasn't that bad. You know?
Hey, yeah, maybe it was. You know, but hey.
I mean, Ben, did you have any of those thoughts yourself? I mean, but you're a pretty level-headed guy. So
no, I'm pretty level-headed, but I think we all had those thoughts that come across our head.
Yeah,
do we tweet them sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes we tweet them.
Probably not.
A little Facebook comment. You know, we've all been there. Okay, I get it.
But
I really do.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Nonetheless, you guys never disappoint. So you kind of just say what we're thinking. But
if you want to be a part of Bleed Tech Blue Radio's finest segment.
If you
want to
make it easy for us, just put a little tag in there, you know?
Hashtag BTB Radio. We'll find you.
Gosh,
well,
and you know what?
It would be a little easier.
Yeah, and you know, one thing's for sure, Ben, we've noticed this over the years. It doesn't matter if we're winning by 100 or losing. You know, those comments are there. BC, they're there.
But we should have done this segment after the Western Kentucky loss last year.
I know.
With just your comments.
We could have done an hour and a half of that.
With just your I look up, Beck's like, listen. 34-yard line, Tech was trailing. If Tech doesn't score right here, I'm leaving.
It was the end of the game. BC.
I was like, all right. You know, about 4 minutes left in the game. Ball's thrown. I'm not sure what happened. I was like, man, wasn't that bad of a throw. We should have completed that. Hopefully we can get this next one. I look to my right. Beck's gone. He's at the track.
I'm a man of my word, BC.
He's at the track.
That was a frustrating one. I'm not going to lie to you.
Man.
Gosh,
anyway,
BC.
Final segment of the show. I don't know if you had a chance to catch it. Started a new thing with Bleed Tech Blue. Going to have a game day podcast each week.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we'll be up on Saturday mornings, day of the game.
Am I on this podcast?
No, you're not. Okay. We'll be more
so
of
you'll want to for sure tune in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue game day podcast. We'll kind of get more of an in-depth look at each opponent that Tech's playing. You know, we don't always have enough time in our six segments to really break down an opponent. So we'll really dive into Grambling this week. I'll record it towards the latter part of the week. It'll be up on Saturday. So be sure to check it out. I'll have it posted on all social media platforms. Really easy to listen to. So good stuff there. But, Beck, you talk about the 45-14 loss. Where do you stand? You encourage, discourage, kind of wait-and-see mode? I know we've talked a lot about, you know, it's hard to evaluate
that's
a real top-10 opponent.
That's really where
I
stand.
You know you're not on that
level.
This
happens every year with the teams that we crush and the teams that we lose to by a million.
And I think it's important to point out, you know, Texas has been down in recent years, but this is Tom Herman's third year with the program, and since he's gotten there, which I think he's about to enter his fourth recruiting cycle, they're recruiting with Alabama and Clemson.
That's what I'm
saying. They're
like,
top five
even
classes.
Even a big school like that is having a down year. They're still getting
they're
still getting 4- and 5-star recruits.
Well, and it's
not
to say that I'm like, oh, yeah, we take you
no
lose
doubt.
45
no doubt,
nothing.
But it is what it is. And you need to understand where you are.
You heard
and
the
biggest,
originality of
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Trademark. The thing that it the place that it shows up for me the most is the offensive line.
It's in the trenches on both sides.
Oh, it's just like you're just getting a different caliber of.
Well, it's nothing against Tech, but you look at, like, you know, when Texas brings in their seventh. Or let's do this, and this is a perfect example. I don't know if you saw the throw that Jamar made late in the game. It was intercepted, went back for a touchdown, roughing the passer. But that dude that picked that ball off was an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I like Willie Baker, and Willie Baker's good, but could you imagine Willie Baker dropping 10 yards into coverage, stepping in front, and running 70 yards?
Probably not happen.
No, it's probably not going to happen. Right. And so, like, it's just – and that guy was probably a backup. So.
Right. But on the other side of that, like, last year at LSU, Tech's offensive line, like, played their best game ever against LSU.
So, it can be done.
It happens. But at the end of the day, like, the fourth quarter, I think, is when it
really
gets worn them down.
Yeah, yep. They can go 60, 65 players deep, whereas – Tech can go 40, 45 players deep.
Right, right.
And we'll see an example of that this Saturday where Tech can go deep into its roster, you know, 90, 95 guys that could possibly play, whereas, Tech's got 85 scholarships, Grambling's got 60. Well, that depth shows up, especially, and it should on a game where it's going to be 110 degrees or whatever. And so you'll just see the difference in an upper-tier program versus a Tech, a G5 program, probably a top 10 or 12 G5 program versus an FCS program. It's a wide gap, much wider than, you know, you might see when you see Georgia State beat Tennessee. Like, why can't Tech beat Georgia State? Well, Tech's beat P5 opponents. Like, let's not be irrational.
And
like,
we've had in the recent years, we've been extremely close, like had the chance.
So it's like, you know, do you get over the hump or not? Like, that's the question.
Just like my 17 parlay on a regular Tuesday night, Ben. Sometimes you hit it, but probably 10 times you're not.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it happens.
Not. Yeah, it happens.
All right, BC. So Saturday at 2:30, what's your score predictions?
No, I want to talk about some of my keys to the game. First key, Jamar has to bring it. Like, it cannot be a game where it's a letdown where we go back to the slow starts offense. It's got to be from the get-go, Tech's the better team, and they prove it on the field. Like, that's what I want to see. That's the number one thing I'm watching. Like, I want to see the defense improve. I want to see the run game get going. But I want to see the intensity from Jamar from snap one throughout his time on the field, whether it's four quarters, whether it's two quarters. I need to see efficiency offensively throwing the football so that we can continue to see the progression that I believe he's going to make as a senior.
Right. I think Tech started the game fast, against Texas.
No, they're moving
the ball.
I always
feel, I mean, I know that's high energy coming out of the locker room first game of the season, but that always seems to be the most productive way that Tech operates.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big statement, but that's what I want to see. I want to see high energy, like you said, efficiency. I think this is a chance for the offense to gain some confidence.
No, I agree. Especially
maybe get a field goal in there.
Yeah, well, that's a big key too. You got to get Hale some confidence. You got to knock a couple of kicks down. Got to hit some touchbacks.
Maybe let him kick on third down or something. I mean, just to, you know, give him a shot.
Yeah, like, help his fantasy points out. Come on. Anyway, let's get to some score predictions. Beck,
I've got it ready.
Dogs are a 28.5-point favorite.
I don't think they cover, but 38-13.
38-13. Taze, what you got?
Is that what you were going to say?
Exactly.
Duh! 38-13!
I'm not changing it. I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to say offense comes out, plays well.
Oh, is that what you're going to say?
45-17, Grambling gets one late.
Ooh.
Right on the betting line, but Grambling gets the cover in a 28-point loss. So that's where we're at.
We'll be out there.
Yeah, we'll be there. 2:30 p.m. kickoff, Joe Ice Stadium. We'll have on Bleed Tech blue shirts. You're welcome to come say hello. We'll be there for four quarters, correct, Beck?
Yep, bring us some water.
Yep, bring us some water, not a Dr. Pepper. Anyways, thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Karloff. For Beck Haynes, our producer, John Tabor. We'll be back same time, same place next week. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
And having to be able to score. You could talk about the intangibles all you want. When you have to score 50 points in a playoff game to win because your defense isn't good enough, Tom Brady's had one game in his whole playoff career where his defense gave up over 40 points. This happened to Aaron Rodgers four times in the postseason.
Yeah, Rob, but again, you're talking about something like, look at the Atlanta game. You want to take that as an example. I mean, Atlanta destroyed Green Bay the week before. I mean, destroyed Aaron Rodgers. He couldn't score anything against them, all right? And, yes, they gave up 45 points, wherever it was. But the Patriots are down 28-3. They come back and win that game. And it's not luck. There is a couple plays
that have to be made.
And by the way, real quick, I want to call you out to one thing.
It's luck. Come on, Mike.
Good call, Mike.
28-3. They ran the ball three times in the second half.
That might be stupidity on Atlanta's fault. They were on a
22-yard line. They kick a field goal.
That doesn't mean you're going to score 24 and 25 points.
They kick a field goal. They're up by 11. That's dumb coaching is what it is. That has nothing to do with the Patriots.
You still
got to
put the points on the board. Stop.
All right, what about Ryan in Austin, Texas? You're
rack
on the Odd
Mike.
Couple. Please.
I was saying rack.
Don't rack him. Throw him out. Ryan in Austin, Texas.
Rack
you're
him.
On the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
How's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
I got to completely agree with you, Rob, on this one.
Oh, stop it.
So, Chris, to your point about your bet with Rob, if you said if Patrick Mahomes is healthy for all 16 seasons, he'll throw 40 touchdowns, right?
Yeah, and I'm even willing to say, you know, if they sit him for, say, game 16 because they got the playoffs wrapped up, even 15 right. games, if he's held, I would even go with that.
Well, my point is Rodgers wasn't healthy all season last year. He got hurt in game one.
He got seriously hurt in game one, right?
So I'll give there you was that. there was reports that said that like he broke his tibia, but you know, the last two seasons he's been hurt. Before that, it was 8 straight playoff appearances.
Yes,
and to Rob's point about like the wins and losses and being lucky, 2014 they were up. Seahawks scored, kicked an onside kick. I'm going to say because I'm a Packers fan. The tight end must hit. Seahawks get it, go down, score, beat them in overtime. And yet everybody's going to blame that on Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Like, that was not his fault.
I'll give that. That was his second
Super Bowl he was supposed to go to.
Exactly. That was the NFC Championship game, but he couldn't go to it.
I will give you that their defense has been horrible. However, Aaron Rodgers also has, you know, lacked some of the intangibles. He's also, you know, been banged up lately, and he has to bear some of the brunt of this. And that's why I say, let's see now. With a bulked up defense, I think it'll be a little bit better, and a highfalutin young play caller, Matt LaFleur, let's see what he does now. I like him. I think he'll have a great year, second only to Pat Mahomes. The football conversation will continue with three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Slayworth. He joins us next. But first, let's bring in our